Nothing? Yeah. Okay. So, last time, what did we discuss on Wednesday? We were talking about entity types. We talked about relationships between those entity types. We also saw weak entity types. So what are weak entity types? Those entity types who do not have sufficient attribute to make up the primary key. So what do they have in that case? They have partial primary key. And we saw one example of dependent. Do you remember? The dependent was a weak entity type which had partial primary key, which was dependent name. And for every weak entity type, we have a owner entity type, which is a strong entity. So similarly, for the dependent, we had the owner entity type, that was employee. So dependent cannot exist without employee. So they had a special kind of relationship, which we call as identifying relationship. And if you remember, in the normal relationship, we have the symbol like this, but in case of weak, we have different. So last time we talked about the weak entities. And this was the relationship. And this is called identifying relationship, which is different from the normal relationship. And the difference was, this is a strong entity because it has primary key, whereas here we didn't have the primary key, we had partial primary key. So just recall those things which we studied last time. And then we also studied the the relationship which is by itself, that was supervision, if you remember, which we call, what kind of relationship it is? Recursive. Because usually in a relationship type, we have two different entities participating. But in case of recursive, the same entity is participating from both sides. And that's why it is called recursive. If you have learned recursion in programming, it's the same. It's a relationship to itself. So that is the supervision. And we talked about that although in all the relationship, there is some role kind of thing. For example, all the employees here, they play the role of employee and they play the role of dependent. But because this is, we don't specify the roles in the normal relationship because it is very obvious. But in case of recursive, we need to specify the roles because the same entity is participating from both the sides. So see here, it is a supervision relationship, and those employees who are supervisors are participating from this side, and those are supervised by someone else, we call them supervisees. So those employees who are supervised by somebody else, we call them supervisee. They are participating from this side. And those employees who are managers, supervisors, are participating from that side. So role names are kind of important to specify if there is a recursive relationship type. Okay? So I think that's all we studied last time. Now, whenever there are relationship, there are some more things, few more things we need to specify. Without that, the relationship types are incomplete. And what are those things? Those are structural constraints. So, there are basically two main things when we need to specify the structural constraints. We will see the examples there. Let's first try to understand what does it mean. Two things you need to specify: cardinality, which can be one to one, one to many, or many to many. One to many, in this case, can be represented by star. So many to many, because we don't specify the same alphabet, because that will mean that the number is same, but which is not the case. So we used different terms, but you can use star also, right? And the another thing is participation, which is either total or partial. And we will just see how to specify those two things with every relationship type. So let's take a simple example. Let me make a little bit more left. So we had employee, my same old examples, and the primary key is social security number, and we have department, and the primary key is department code, let's suppose. And if you see, there were two different relationships between them. One is department employees manages those departments, and another one was these employees works on these departments or works under those departments, right? Now, we need to specify the cardinalities first. So how do we specify the cardinality? An employee can manage how many departments? A particular employee who is a manager can manage how many departments? Usually one. A department is managed by how many employees? A particular department is managed by usually one, right? There is usually one manager of a department. So this is one to one, right? But this is just we specified the cardinalities. But we need to also specify whether a particular entity type is participating fully or partially in this relationship type. For example, if you see here all the employees, are all employees participating in this manager's relationship? Or only few of them who are managers are participating? If suppose there are 100 employees, all of them are participating in this relationship type? No. So the partial is specified by 0. But here the 0 goes to the opposite side. So here we will write, I'm erasing this for now. So that 0 goes here, right? And there are between two dots. Every department is managed? Yes. Every department is managed. You don't find a department which is not managed. And that will come here. So the left-hand side is basically, in this multiplicity, the left part is basically specifies the participation. And the right side specifies the cardinalities. Let's repeat this once more time. Right? So how do we fill it? An employee can manage only one department. A department is managed by one employee. So right hand side we filled, and then we need to fill partial total. Do all employees are participating here? No, only some of them. So from this set, only a subset is participating in this relationship type. So partial is zero. So we put zero here on the opposite side. Are all department managed? Yes. That means we need to put one, and that one is on the other side is put here. That specify that department has total participation, whereas employee has partial participation. Let's try to read it in another way. Does it make sense? An employee can manage minimum zero or maximum one department. So an employee, if that employee is not a supervisor, is managing zero. If that employee is a manager, is managing one. So a particular employee can manage minimum zero, maximum one department. A department can be managed by minimum one or maximum one employee. So this is another way. Let's try to work on the other one, right? First, let's only try to work on the cardinalities. An employee can work for how many departments? Usually. We are not talking about the exception cases. An employee can work under, usually we are associated with one major department, right? So an employee can work for one department. A department has how many employees working under it? Many. So we specify star here, right? So we fill the cardinality. So in other words, if you see, you can find the difference between this relation and this relation. This is one to one. This is one to many. Because a department has many employees working under it, and an employee can work on only one department. So this is one to many, whereas this is one to one. We will take many, many examples, then it will be more clear. Let's repeat one more time. An employee can work under one department. A department has many employees working under it, right? So we filled the cardinality. Now let's talk about the participation. Are all employees working under department? Usually. If we just take out the main head, maybe. Usually all the employees are associated with the department. Maybe administration in that case, if that person is the head. But usually every employee is associated with the department. In that case, participation of employee entity type in this relationship is total, because all the employees are working under some department. And that's why this one will come here, because this has total participation. Let's see for the department. Are all departments have employees working under it? Or can you find a department where there is no employee? It's very improbable, isn't it? So all the department has some employees working for it. In that case, the participation of department is also total. So department participation comes this side. And this will be. So lower part specify, the left part specify the participation, but the participation of opposite entity type. So this one means the department has total participation in this relationship. This one means employee has total participation in this. And this is a one-to-many relationship, many on the side of employee. So a department has many employees. And an employee can work for one department. So this is again one-to-many relationship, and both has total participation. This is one-to-one. An employee can work for one department. A department An employee can manage one department. A department is managed by one employee. So this is one-to-one. And the participation of employee is partial. That's why this is zero. And the participation of department is total. That's why this is one. Okay, let's try one more. Let's take some more example. Okay. This is another relationship. We have projects, and suppose this is the primary key, right? You all can see. Let's see first about cardinalities. An employee can work for how many projects? Usually many projects. If you think about here, teachers also, they are working under different departments and they may have many projects. So, this will be star here. So, we are just filling the right hand side right now. An employee can work for many projects. A particular project can have how many employees? Again, many, right? So this is basically many-to-many relationship. This was one-to-one. This was one-to-many. And this is many-to-many. An employee can work for many projects. A project may have many employees. So this is many-to-many. Let's talk about now participation. So we will first find out the participation of employee here. And we will fill it this side, the opposite side. So an employee, all the employees have projects? Not sure, not necessarily. So it will be zero here, right? All projects must have employee working under it? Or can you find some projects where there are no employees? Then those projects cannot exist. So there must be at least one employee. So all the project has employees. So in that case, it will be one. So this specifies it is many-to-many relationship, and this specifies that project has total participation, and this specifies that employee has partial participation. So we actually saw the example of all three types. Total partial is secondary. This is one to one. This is one to many. This is many to many. Let's take some more example. What about student and course? Now you can help me in filling the details. So this is the relationship. Both are strong entities because both have primary keys. Now let's talk about the cardinality first. What do you think, what kind of relationship it is? Is it one to one, one to many, or many to many? A student can take how many courses? How many courses? Many, right? So, a course is taken by How many students? Many again, right? So this is many to many. Now let's talk about the participation. All the students are taking the courses, or can you find some student in this set who are students but not taking the courses? Generally, think about from your experience. Until and unless they have frozen their semester, everyone takes courses, right? So all the students are taking the courses. So you will not find a student who is not participating in this relationship. So that means the participation of student in this takes relationship is total. And in that case, we will have one here, right? All the courses are taken by some students, or can you find some courses which are open but no student is registered? There is a possibility, but after some time those courses will be closed if no one is opting for. So let's read it in different way. A student can take one or many courses. Minimum one, maximum many courses. A course is taken by minimum zero and maximum many students. So this is another way of reading the same thing. So this specifies minimum and this specifies maximum. A student can take minimum one, maximum many courses. A course is taken by minimum zero. That means that course is not open then. Or maximum many students. That course is running and there are many students registered under it. Now let's see what the book is saying. So main type of constraint is multiplicity. That we called about cardinality. Whether it is one to one, one to many, or many to many. And this is the definition. Number of possible occurrences of an entity type that may relate to a single occurrence of an associated entity type through a particular relationship. Do you want to see the semantic network? Maybe it will make you understand this much better. Okay, so if we talk about the first one, this one. Okay, let's first see the manager's relationship. There are many employees, but there are only two departments, let's suppose. Now, all the employees are not manager. only some of them will be manager. Suppose E2 employee is the manager of department D1, and in that case, we will have something like this. And suppose E4 is the manager of department D2. This is the semantic network or occurrence diagram for manager's relationship. And as you can say, it is one-to-one. There is no multiple lines coming out of anywhere. And second thing, there are some employees who are not participating in this relationship. So there are some employees who exist in this set, in this entity type, but not participating in this relationship type. And that's why the participation of employee is partial. And that partial we have put here. Whereas all the departments are participating in this relationship type. You won't find any department here which is not managed. So all the entities present in this entity type department are participating here. And that's why here it is total. And then it is one-to-one. So we have one-to-one. Okay? Let's try to, I need to erase this so you cannot compare. Can I make it bigger upside? Will you be able to see, all of you? Okay, let's try to make the works one. Let's see the same instance. We have 5 employees and 2 departments. So this is employee, this is department, and we are talking about now works relationship. Okay, so let's suppose E1 and E2 both works under department number 1. So E1 work for department 1. E2 also work for department number 1. Suppose E3 is also working under department number 1. E4 is working for department 2. And E5 is working for department 2. Now can you see the difference between the two occurrence diagrams? Here, many employees are working for the same department. Many is this side. So many lines are coming out of the same department. And that's why this star is here. Because a department has many employees. So you can see many rows are coming from here. So this is many here. But here every employee is working for only one department. So this is one here. And see the participation also. All employees are participating in this relationship type. There is no employee which is not participating. And here there was that case. E5 and E3 and E1 was not part of this relationship type. But here all of them are participating. And that's why this is total one. Participation of employee here is total. But here it was partial. So we put 0 here. But here it is total in this relationship. So we put 1 here. And similarly, all departments are participating in this relationship type. So we have 1 here also. So this is the difference between these two. Right? If some of the entities are not participating, then it is partial. On the opposite side, you put 0. These all are participating, so you on the opposite side, you put 1. Right? Yeah. Oh, no, there is no reason. I just forgot. There is no reason. Okay, there was one more we saw I wanted to draw at the same time so that you can see the comparison, but unfortunately we don't have the space. So let me keep it all these, and let me try. Do you remember we had one with project, right? Sorry for making the mess. I want to utilize it efficiently. Okay, let me make it here. Project. So we had project and project number. We saw it was many to many. Works for or work in, let's suppose. So it was an employee can work for. This was the relationship. It was many to many. Let me try to make up some space here. Let's see the same that we have. 5 employees, and let's suppose we have 2 or 3 projects. Let's suppose 2 projects. It will be less messy. So we have employee and we have projects, and this is work in. We are saying an employee can work for many projects. So this side it is many. So suppose employee 1 works for both projects. Right? Employee 2 may be not working for any project. Employee 3 is working for one project. Employee 4 is again working for both the projects. And suppose employee 5 is not working for any projects. So can you see the difference between this and this? Here also multiple lines are coming out. From here also multiple lines are coming out from one instance. Because this is many to many. That was one to many. From one side only and one side multiple. Here from both the side multiples are coming. Because it is many to many relationship. And see the total and partial. The employee has partial participation. So there are participating, right? So employee has partial, whereas project has total. All the project instances are participating. So project has total, employee has partial. We put it on other side, right? And this is its occurrence or instance diagram, we can see, right? So this is one to many, one to one, many to many, and this the diagrams look like. Okay, let's see the book examples. So these are the different kind we are going to study. So this is manages. As you can see, we have different way of reading the same. It is one to one, The participation of staff is partial because zero is on the other side. And can you see here? This zero signifies that the participation of staff is partial. But this side, the left-hand side is one. That means participation of branch is total. And it is a one-to-one relationship. It is similar to this manager's relationship. Only instead of department, we have branch here. So the other way of reading it is a staff manages one branch. A branch is managed by one staff member. So the right-hand side are the cardinality, which specifies that it is one-to-one. And the participation of staff is partial, whereas participation of branch is total. When we use this notation, instead of pinpointing on each left-hand side, right-hand side, we can directly read it as a staff manages minimum zero, maximum one branch. A branch is managed by minimum one and maximum one staff. Right? So this is the way. This is one-to-one. A staff member manages only one branch. A branch is managed by only staff member. Right now we are just concentrating on cardinalities. We are not talking about the participation. That's why it is written like this. And this is the semantic net. As you can see, straight, nowhere from any of the entity type double lines are not coming out. Everywhere there is single coming out. And because the staff has partial, so there are some staff who are not participating in this relationship type. But the participation of branch is total, so every branch is participating in this entity type. So this is again just to clarify, and this is another example. See here, the staff oversees the properties which are there for renting. So there are lots of properties which are available for rent, and maybe these people are working under some agency. What it is called, I forgot the name. Some rental agency. Those who manages the properties for sale or for rent. So this is the staff which is working here. And let's see what kind of relationship it is. Can you suggest? Is it one-to-one, one-to-many, many-to-many? Just see the right side. It is one-to-many. Many on the property side. How can we read it? A staff oversees many properties. A particular property is overseen by only one staff member. So a particular property is handled by one staff member, but a staff can handle many properties. So it is one to many. And can you see the participation of both are partial? So not all staff are handling the property. There may be some staff in the company who are doing some other job apart from handling those property. So that's why staff participation is partial. And not all property is overseen. Actually, it's very strange, but this also signifies that not all properties are part of this relationship. So this is partial here. It's one to many, partial from both sides. And as you can see, because we say it's partial, staff 5 is not handling any property, and property 4 is not overseen by anyone. So this is the instance diagram here. And then we have a many-to-many. There are many newspapers in a city, and there are many properties for renting available. An owner can decide to advertise in many newspapers. So a property can be advertised on many newspapers. This side it's many. A newspaper has advertisements related to many properties. So it is many to many. And can you see? Newspaper has total participation, whereas property has partial participation. So that means all newspaper advertises properties, whereas not all properties available for rent are advertised in the newspaper. So there are some properties which are available for rent but which are not advertised in the newspaper. So this zero signifies that property has partial, and this one signifies that newspaper has total. Other way of reading it is, a newspaper advertises minimum one and maximum many properties for rent. A particular property is advertised in minimum zero, that means it is not advertised in the newspaper, or it can be advertised on maximum many newspaper. So property for rent has partial, newspaper has total. And you can see there are multiple coming out of both the side because it is many to many. Plus there is a property, because property has partial participation, there is some properties which are not participating in this relationship. So we talked about multiplicity, and then after the break we are going to talk about ternary relationships and its multiplicity, and then we will discuss some case studies where data requirements are given and you are required to make the conceptual model from that given data requirements. And that will be actually your assignment 3 also. I'll give you list of requirements and you are supposed to make the conceptual model out of those list of requirements. Let's take a break, then we will continue. It's right now 2 minutes before the break, so we will start at 9:13. Okay? All right, so before the break, we were talking about the structural constraints on relationship type. And we saw there can be three different type of cardinalities, one-to-one, one-to-many, and many-to-many. And in addition to cardinalities, we also need to specify for every relationship type whether the participation of participating entity types are total or partial. So if it is total, we specify it with 1. If it is partial, we specify it with 0. So far we have only seen the binary relationship. Why we are calling them binary? Because there were 2 participating entity types. But last time we saw on Wednesday that there can be ternary relationships. And in case of ternary, we again have to specify all these structural constraints which we just studied. So how do we do that for the ternary relationship? So for the ternary relationship, basically what we do, suppose this is our ternary relationship. So staff registers the clients. Staffs are working for this branch and registering the clients for this branch, just like we have student-teacher course. And in that case, when we decide the multiplicity, there can be 3 different ways. You need to make constant 1 pair. For example, in this case, the example we will see, the staff-branch pair is made as constant, 1-to-1 here. And then we are deciding what is the cardinality for the client. So for this staff branch combination, you can see like here, for a particular staff working in a particular branch, they can register many clients. So here we have made this as constant, this combination as 1-to-1, and then we are defining what is the cardinality of the client. And we can do this by deciding, actually this was the most logical thing to do in this case, but there can be other ways as well. For example, you can have the combination of staff client and decide about the branch, or you can have branch client and decide about the staff. But in this case, this is the more logical, more obvious things to do. So we have done the staff branch and we found out about the client. And as you can see, it's 1-to-many in this case. And here, see here, it is many here. And this is, we have decided for this pair. So this is the way we do for the ternary. So when you are specifying in a conceptual model, you need to decide what is the most obvious choice in this case. And like I said before, all these diagrams, there is no one perfect solution. I can only provide one of the solution which makes sense to me. It may not make that much sense to you, because I am making it from my experience. And you may have different experience in this case, right? So whenever you are making any conceptual model, even in the exam or even in the assignment 3, it is not necessary that our diagrams will exactly match. So I am only giving one possible solution there. And if you have written your assumptions, until and unless you had not made any big mistake which doesn't make sense, we consider all the possible solutions. So in evaluation also, if you are making something which is different from my solution, but if you are writing your assumptions down and it matches with your assumption and that assumption makes sense, it's fine even if it doesn't match with my solution. Right? Like in this case, for example, in some of the company, there might be case that every employee has to work for project. You can't have any employee who is not. For example, if this is about a software company, think about that. So maybe there are few, and this is a small company. So there is nothing like CEO, middle management. It's a company of 10 people. Everybody has to work on project. And in that case, although we are saying that employees are working for zero too many, in that particular scenario, it will be employee is working for minimum one and maximum many. So it can change from where the data requirements are coming from. So here we are just talking about general thing. But when you are talking about specific, or in your data requirement, if it is specifically given that every employee should work for a project, then this general thing is no longer correct. And in that case, all the employees are participating, and in that case, this will be one. Right? So it depends on your data requirements. Again, when we get the data requirements from the customer, it is not necessary that those data requirements will be complete totally. Because in the real world also, it doesn't happen like this. Customers are not sure what they want. And maybe they are thinking something, saying something else. And you need to make sense of whatever is given to you by customer, right? So there may be some extra information given which is not required for you. There may be many missing pieces there, and you need to fill those pieces. Maybe by your assumptions, or you need to talk to the customer more to understand what they need. And similarly, in our exam questions or in our assignment, we will try to give you as perfect data requirements as possible. But there may be some cases where we intentionally or by mistake can have some gaps in the knowledge which is given there. And we expect you to fill that knowledge by yourself, by your experience, right? So after this, we will study some of the data requirements, and we will see that many times many of the information is not necessary for us for making the conceptual model, and still it is given there. And many times many of the things are not available, and we need to assume many of the things. So this we just saw. We already talked about cardinalities and participation. So upper values are cardinalities wherever it is mentioned, and lower values are participation. We already talked about it. So there can be so many combinations, 0 to 1. Let's see, we have there 0 to 1, 1 to 1 we have, 0 to 0 and star, we had it earlier here, and 1 to star. And where you know exactly what that star means, you can specify even this also, 5 to 10. For example, there is a constraint like that in every project, maximum, like I'm making the groups for some projects in my class. And if I make sure that, okay, in every group there has to be minimum one and maximum four students, so I exactly know the many value, that multiple value, star value is four in my case. So we can specify like that also. We will see many examples. Minimum of five up to a maximum of 10. Like if I am making the groups for the, in one of my other course we have teamwork, and all the students are divided into groups. And we have something like this. Students are making project teams. And we have student ID, primary key here, and team number is the primary key here. Let's see what can be the cardinality here. Can anyone suggest? A student, okay, let's make more part of. A student is part of how many teams? One team. A team can have how many students? If I have a constraint that in my team only maximum 4 students can come, then this is 4 here, right? And let's talk about the participation now. Every student has to be part of the team? Or can you find some students who are not part of any team? In my case, if student need to pass, they need to take part in the project. And in that case, every student should be part of a team. And in that case, this is total here. So this is total. And every team has minimum. There are some remote students who cannot work in teams because they cannot meet with the other team members. So I have given them the flexibility that they can work alone. So in those cases, a team is made up of, are all teams have students, or there are some teams where there is no student. All teams have students. So it is total, even if it is one member team. Now let's read it. A student is part of minimum one and maximum one team. A team has minimum one and maximum 4 students. Or it is actually one to many. A student is part of one team. A team has 4 students, maximum 4 students. So in other words, although I have specified the many number here, it could be written like this. Star means many, we don't know the number. In this case, I know the number, so I'm filling it with by 4. So there are some cases where you know exactly the number. So you don't need to make the star. Star means anything which is more than 1. Right? So it can be 10, it can be 5, it can be anything. All right. So when we do the conceptual modeling and the data requirements are given to us, the first step is identify the entity types. Then identify the relationship. Identify the attributes of entity and the relationship. You can determine the attribute domain also, that for every attribute, what kind of values are acceptable, because the next step is you are going to convert it into logical modeling and you need to know what kind of values can be stored. Here, sometimes even you are not sure, because at this moment when you are making the conceptual model, you are in touch with the customer. So you can talk to the customer to clarify what kind of values will come in this particular attribute, because some of the areas, these are very common areas. We know the student ID has to be numeric, numeric, integer. But there may be some areas where we have no idea about and still we are making the system for that. Maybe municipal corporation, maybe somewhere art gallery, or maybe something else, and we are not sure what this attribute is because we don't know much about that area. So it's better to talk to the customer, and we are still in touch with the customer when we are making the conceptual model. So we can talk with them and clarify our doubts. So it's better to decide the attribute domains also at this point, rather than waiting for the next step when we will convert it into relational model. Because maybe you will not have the opportunity to talk to the customer at that time. Right now, in the conceptual modeling, we are getting the requirements from the customer, so it's better to clarify all the doubts so that later on we don't need to talk again and again. Okay? Of course, you can always go back if there is any confusion, even though you are doing the logical modeling. Okay? And then we determine the key attribute, and then actually it is, you cannot make a final ER model in one go. It requires many loops. You will revisit it. You may think that some of the information is redundant, present at many places, so you would try to cut some of the things. So that is again just like any other thing. It happens in multiple loops until you come up with the final solution. So first is you need to divide and conquer. So you need to concentrate on one part, try to fill that part, and then concentrate on other. So let's start with a very simple problem. Please read it, and then we will make the conceptual model of this. And while reading it, try to identify the entity types. Actually, it is easier to identify the entity types than relationships. Have you read it? Okay. Let's figure out what are the entity types here. The tip for that is, it's very easy to identify the entity types. Wherever there is something like that, following information about each race is specified. And then there is something, 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 something. It is always a sign of an entity type. Because for each race, you are storing all this information. Now, all this information may not be attribute of the entity type only, but it specifies that there is an entity type called race. Similarly, you can see later on. In addition, for each participant, we record social security number, name, birth date, gender, address, etc., etc. So this is also a sign that there is another entity type. So from these two, and if you see, there is many lines in the first paragraph, but once we will make it, you will know that none of this information is actually useful for making the conceptual diagram. This is just some background information given to you. So the actual information from conceptual diagram point of view starts from the second paragraph. So this helps you to understand the area, what it is about, but the actual thing which we will use comes here. But this is just one example. Other example may not have the first paragraph at all. So you need to understand to filter the information, what is what is necessary and what is not necessary. So here it is very obvious that there are races described with race ID, total number of runners, date of race, etc., etc. And there are participants, and for every participants we are storing these information. So at least these two things are clear when we read this problem. So we have race, and we have participants. Okay. Now we need to figure out the relationship. You can figure out the relationship first, or you can strike out, we can fill the attributes first, and then we will talk about, okay, what sentences we have not yet translated. So I actually have a paper and I strike, okay, this much I have already translated and this much is remaining, and now let's try to figure out what is the relationship. So everybody has their own method. So at least we can know, I'm teaching another course which is using entirely different notations and I get confused which one to use where. Okay. So for the race, can you see what are the attributes? For each race, what we are storing? We are storing race ID, total number of participants, actual number of participants, and then what else? See the third line in the second paragraph, the number of female runners. And then there is number of male runners. Now let's talk about what can be the primary key here. Yeah, race ID will be probably primary key. Can you see here any scope of any composite attribute or derived attribute whose value we don't need to supply, can be calculated from something else? Yeah. Yeah, one of the thing, if we know, we can deduce other thing. So we know the actual number of participants. And if we already know the female participants, we don't need to store the male. We can subtract these two values and come up with the male. So, this can be a derived attribute. Right? Now you will say that there are... Okay, there is one more thing we forgot. That is date. So we filled the total number, race ID, actual number, female runners, male runners, and the date of the race. We didn't fill the name of the man winner, the name of the women winner, and there are man master and women master. We will talk about those four attributes in a moment, whether we need to fill it here or does it mean something else, although it is written there, right? Let's try to fill the participants. It is saying social security number. It is saying name, date of birth, gender, address, age, what else? Certified personal record. Now, think about this. Is it complete? Do we need to make any one of them composite? Is there any possibility of derived attribute? Is there any multi-valued attribute? Think about those things. Obviously, social security number will be primary key. Just name stored in one attribute is enough, or do you think it can be composite? It will be better if it will be composite. Right? We divide it into three parts. It will be easier for you because as a designer, we need to decide those decisions. What about address? Do you think we need to divide it into smaller part and we can store everything? It again depends on what are the requirements from the functional point of view. If we have some queries which specify the street that find all the participants who lives in this street, then in that case, having one common address is not a good idea. It's better to divide it into different parts. But if there is no such kind of requirement, where building, address, city, everything is in just one attribute, that is address, very long, then you can keep it like that. So it depends on the requirements. Any derived attribute? Age is a derived attribute which can be derived from date of birth. You can have address as a composite. There is no phone number. If there is a phone number, suppose, then it could be multi-valued. We are keeping at least two phone numbers for every participant. It's not the case. I am just giving an example. Now we have two entities dangling in space. You need to figure out the relationship. So reading the problem, what is an obvious relationship? Yes, so these participants are participating in these races. Okay. Now, let's come back to what we have left here. The number of male runners, the name of the male winner, the name of the woman winner, the name of the man master. So these are the people who won the race. Can we put those things here? Even suppose we have a list of races and there is some race name, race 1, race 2, race 3. And these races are held every year on different dates, right? Can we put date here? Every race is organized multiple times. Can we put date here? And we don't know how many values, because maybe it is organized quarterly every year. And every time the participants may be different. Some of them are common, but new participants are also coming. So do you think it should be attribute of here? Or do you think it should be attribute of here? Relationship. We have participants here, suppose P1, P2, P3. These two participated first time when the race 1 was held, suppose on 1st May 2017. And then one of them and P3 participated on the same race next year when it was held on 3rd May 2018. So we need to keep such kind of information. Do you think it is advisable to keep the date here? If the date is kept here, then for every race, you need to have predetermined number of dates. You cannot keep on changing it. So it may be, for example, on date this, maybe you can decide 3 times, 5 times, 10 times. For me, the most obvious one is that it is a relationship attribute. And we put it with the dashed line. And date of race is kept here. So date is not here. Similarly, who won it? So everyone is participating. And some of them are winning those races. How can we put this information? Try to relate it with manages and works on. Everyone is working, everyone is participating, but some of them are winning. So participants participates in, and participants also win this. Now think about the name of the male winner, the name of the women winner for a particular race, etc. Because for every race there are many winners. It will be again here. So there are many type of winners for every race. So a particular participant won this race. But which category of winning? Whether that participant was a women winner or men winner or women master or men master under the category of over 40. So that type of winner we are putting here. So this is its conceptual model. Still some things are missing. What is missing? Cardinalities, participation. And there is no information in the case study for that. So what do you think? First one, a participant can participate in how many races? Many races, right? A race is participated by many participants, right? Here is the list of participants, list of races. All races are participated by someone? Yes. So this is one. Other way is, a race is participated by minimum one. Actually, one is too less, right? We should have some other number. Because a race will not be organized for one participant. So maybe they might have something like that there should be at least 10 participant minimum, and maximum can be many, right? Are all participants participate in the races? For a particular I'm forgetting my question. A participant can participate in minimum how many? Minimum zero or minimum one? If this is, yeah. Minimum one, otherwise this will be set of people living in somewhere. Then only some of them are participant. A participant is called participant when the person is participating in at least one race. So this will be the thing. If we don't keep this, then this will be. So both has total participation. Think about this. A race has how many winners? Many. So you can put star, but in this case we know there are four winners for race. But there may be some races where there are less or more. So you can put four or you can put star here. Many winners for a particular race. A participant can win how many races? Many races again. Every participant is a winner? No. Every race has a winner? Yes. Other words, a race has minimum one, maximum many winners. A participant can win minimum zero or maximum many races. So these are the cardinalities here. And this is the relationship attribute for the wins, and this is the relationship attribute for the participating. So this is a very simple one. In your assignment, there will be at least 8, 10, 12 entities, and there will be at least 15, 16 relationships, and not all will be strong entity types. There will be many relationship attributes. So you can imagine the whole problem, how big it will be, right? Let's do one more. Maybe we have time. This is more straightforward. Nicely written data requirements. So you can have data requirements of different types. Very easy to consider here because everything is written point wise. I'll post the solutions in Blackboard finally. This will be easier for you to work out because it is from your area. We all are very well versed with this area. If you read everything together, it feels like we are totally confused. So we can start concentrating by line by line and try to convert it and then see how it works. Let's see here. So the first point, what does it say? Professors have social security number, name and age, a rank and a research specialty. It's very obvious that this is an entity type. So we have professors, and every professor has a social security number, name, age, the rank, a research specialty, so specialization. Anything else? And then we have projects, second line. So we have project, and project has project number, a sponsor name. For example, Norwegian Research Council, or is it from European Union, whoever is the sponsor, a start date and an end date. And a budget. Right? So far clear. Then we are storing information about graduate students also. So we have grad students, and grad students again have social security number, name, age, and the degree program they are registered in. What else? Okay, now come to third point. What does it say? Each project is managed by one professor known as the project's principal investigator. How can we put that point here? Project is managed by one professor, and that professor is known as principal investigator. How can we put this fourth point? Can anyone suggest? Project has principal investigator. Obviously, it cannot be the attribute of a particular entity type. This sentence tells you something about two entities together and how these two entity types are interacting. So this is the sign of a relationship type. So here, these projects are managed by or you can give it a name, principal investigator or whatever. And it is also saying each project is managed by one professor. So we know this side, what it is. Each project is managed by one professor. And the next line, the fifth point, each project is worked on by one or more professors. So it is again another relation, works on, and each project has one or more professors. That is given there already. So we are trying to convert whatever is given and then we will fill the missing information. Professor can manage or work on multiple projects. So a professor can manage multiple projects and at the same time work on multiple projects. So this information is given in the next point. So we have written that. Each project is worked on by one or more graduate students. How will we put it? So projects have graduate students also. Which point we are in? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Here somewhere. See here where I am going. This point, each project is worked on by one or more grad students known as project research assistants. So there is a relationship here. So project has grad students and it is saying that one or more. So minimum one, maximum many. We don't know. So we are done till here. And now come to the next point. Departments have a department number, a department name, and a main office. So what does it specify? It specifies that there is one more entity which we are calling as department. Which is specified, described with the help of department number, department name, and a main office. Right? And then the next point. Departments have a professor known as chairman who runs the department. So, department is run by professors. A professor, so it is run by one professor, minimum one, maximum one professor. professors work in one or more departments, and for each department they work in, a time percentage is associated with their job. So there is another relationship. These professors works for these departments, and they are saying one or more. So the professor works for minimum one, maximum many departments, and for every department they are working in, it's gone, it seems. No, it's still here. And which is the relationship attribute time spent. We don't have sufficient time to complete this, it seems. It's already 10. Try to work on the other part, and we will come back to this case study on Tuesday. Thank you very much. See you on coming Tuesday. The third assignment will be uploaded soon.